The return this weekend of dry weather to the inland parts of our region remind us that we are possibly heading for drought, most likely heading for drought. California's governor declared a drought for the state in the middle of January. Klamath County commissioners declared drought in the county not long after, and Oregon's governor slapped his own declaration on Klamath and three other counties shortly after that. So what does a drought declaration do at any level of government? For that, we turn to Tom Malams, who's one of the Klamath County commissioners and our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. Hi, Tom. Thanks for joining us.
Well, thank you for inviting me on your show.
Well, you know, it seems the news is getting far and wide. Just Googling the term Klamath drought, it looks like we've gotten published in places as far off as the Miami Herald. So people all over the country are aware now that there's a drought coming to Klamath County.
Yes, we are definitely in a drought. There's no doubt about that. And the snowpack is not there. The precipitation hasn't been there. We've had a little bit here just in the last week or so, which helps, but we're way, way short of what we actually need.
All right, so that is one of the questions, then. Did this recent spate of wet weather make much of a difference?
No, it didn't. It helped, yes. It's the ground soaked it up tremendously. Some of the reservoirs came up a little bit. There were actually some rivers that were almost flowing out of their banks, but it was just a real flash in the pan. It doesn't solve our problem by any means.
So even before these storms, and it sounds like obviously not much change from the storms, what were we looking at for snowpack and precipitation figures for Klamath County?
We're still down in the 20% range of normal, 20-30%, and that's not doable for irrigation here. It's the way it is now for surface water. It's just not a doable solution here right now. We have to have more snowpack to make that surface water hold out.
I'm looking at some of these figures. It looks like the precipitation for the water year, which starts September 1st, was about an inch in Klamath County as of January 1st?
I believe that's correct. And this last storm we had, I didn't hear exactly the full number, but it was somewhere in that area also. So it almost doubled that, but it's still a drop in the bucket for the surface water, the storage that we have.
Yeah, that tells you a lot when it's not a terribly big storm and it still ends up doubling your precipitation figures for the water year.
Yes, that's not a good. If we had four or five or six more, well, then we'd be talking a little different maybe, but we need that snowpack for the long term for surface water.
Tom Malams, are any parts of Klamath County seeing it any worse or better than any other, or is it pretty evenly distributed?
No, it's not evenly distributed. This year it might be more so, but the drought declaration does open up avenues for funding, for mitigation, for some of those losses of being able to irrigate, specifically on the Klamath Reclamation Project. They have mechanisms in place, have for a number of years, to mitigate some of that loss of the ability. They can do some groundwater pumping down there. They can do some land idling, and the federal government reimburses them for those costs. And that's a great help for the economy, for the basin. Unfortunately, the rest of the basin doesn't have any of those things in place. They have some through the Farm Bill. They have some livestock forage reimbursements when they have to buy forage or hay to feed their cattle and that type of thing. But some of those things are not exactly real clear of what that's going to look like. California and Oregon both declared droughts, California in totally and Oregon, Southern Oregon. And there's a pretty good pot of money there, but when you spread it over some of the California regions, it's very plain that those areas are going to take up the lion's share of that funding. So we're still looking and waiting to see exactly what we are going to receive here being able to supplement these irrigators that are not able to irrigate.
So Tom Malams, the funding doesn't actually create water. Nobody can really do that. But so where does the money actually go?
Well, some of it will go for, like I said, for the groundwater pumping in the lower basin, land idling options, growing cover crops so that when there's dry, that you don't lose that topsoil, a lot of things like that. And you are correct. The funding doesn't create water. Mother Nature has created storage capacities for water in the long term in two different directions, I would say. Obviously, we have our snowpack, which is almost non-existent this year. The other form that Mother Nature provides water storage is in the ground, and that's what has been relied on in the federal project here. They've done a lot of groundwater pumping. It has affected their aquifer in the lower basin right on the state line. The upper basin now is a complete different story. The upper basin has a tremendous amount of water storage in the ground, and I do live in the upper basin, and I am an irrigator, a small irrigator, so some people will say I may have a perceived conflict of interest, and I openly admit Some people might say that, but I'm one small irrigator out of a very, very large group, and this has nothing to do with my personal operation. I don't even run that operation. My family runs that. So, but there is an economic fix for the upper basin that was actually turned down by, it appears, by our governor here a couple weeks ago. There was a House Bill 4044, which was in the Oregon State House, that would fix this problem in the upper basin and allow the irrigators to use their wells in a drought year like this very easily, because right now the Oregon Water Resources Department is going to regulate these wells in the upper basin this next year, this current year we're in, under a modeling program that they developed that says that basically all groundwater interferes with surface water to a highest, to a high degree, a high enough degree for them to turn that water off. And in the United States, there's always been a concept that you are innocent until proven guilty. The Water Resources has flipped that completely upside down and says you have to, if you're an irrigator, you have to prove that your well does not interfere with the surface water. In other words, you're guilty unless you prove yourself innocent. Now, in the hearing in Salem here about 2 weeks ago, I testified along with about a dozen other people from the Klamath Basin and others, and they openly admitted that it's impossible for an irrigator to prove that they don't have an interference there. So you're proven until you're proven innocent. You're guilty until you're proven innocent, but there is no way that you can prove your innocence. Now, they, at the same breath, then they said, well, Water Resources, would it would cost them $80,000 per well to prove whether there was interference or not. So they're saying they could prove it, but the irrigator couldn't, to their degree of what was going to be necessary. Now, I find that very problematic. And but this House bill would have required Oregon Water Resources Department to do their due diligence to prove there was interference well by well. Otherwise, they would be subject to damages if they couldn't prove it. And I think that's a very prudent way to go. And it's not our fault as citizens that they can't afford to do it, but yet the concept of being guilty until you prove you're innocent is not correct. And that committee was very engaged in it. There were a few irrigators, actually only one, that actually showed up that opposed that, saying there was that would cause interference or problems with surface water. There was already an amendment in place by Senator Whitsitt that handled that, so there wouldn't be any problem between surface water and groundwater if that regulation was changed or clarified, actually would be the proper word. And this simple bill would have alleviated somewhere between 30% to 50% of the economic impacts of a drought, because there is tremendous amount of water in the upper basin where I live. The last well that I drilled personally, well, had drilled on my property a number of years ago, it's 400 feet deep, which is not a very deep well, and it artesians about 800 gallons a minute. No pump on it, it artesians. It pumps, it can pump about 2,000 gallons a minute, but we only need about 1,000.
So there's enough force, you're saying, from the water coming up from the ground, you don't need a pump.
Yeah, that's right. I have neighbors that have artesian wells that actually have enough flow and enough pressure. I don't know if you're familiar with the big circle irrigation systems. They call them pivots.
Mm-hmm.
There's enough pressure and water to run what they call a water drive pivot. No electricity needed whatsoever. It can irrigate close to 300 acres with not one single drop of power required. It's all from the surface of the groundwater pressure that comes up. And there's wells up there that I haven't seen the biggest ones. I've told there's one that's artesian's about 10,000 gallons a minute. I know there are a number of others that are between 2 and 5,000 gallons a minute artesian flow, and they are going to shut those wells off this year. And there has been no real proof showing that there is interference of any kind up there with other wells to any great extent, where the lower basin, they have a proven interference there, but they're still allowing those to be pumped and actually paying them to pump with our federal tax dollars.
Tom Malams is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, Klamath County Commissioner. They have declared drought in Klamath County. The governor followed with his own drought declaration on behalf of the state, on behalf of Klamath County. You can join our discussion as we talk about drought and ways in which places like the Klamath Basin will be dealing with drought this year. 800-838-3760, anywhere in our listening area. In the Rogue Valley, 541-552-6782, by email jx@jeffnet.org. So you're saying that the application between the upper and the lower basin is different just between those those two parts of one county, that, that you can use the wells in the lower basin but not in the upper basin?
That's what they're saying they're going to do this year. This year will be the very first year they've done this.
And is this a response to the adjudication that took place last year?
Part of it, yes, it is. And part of it also is they declared our area the scenic waterway designation, which restricts the well use within so much distance of any waterway, and that's under this designation.
So is this the Sprague and the Williamson Rivers, for example?
Yes, Sprague, Sycan, Williamson, and even Klamath Lake. And that can be expanded, it appears. But there's a list of over 200 wells that could be affected. They're talking about regulating over 100 this year. And then they still waffle back and forth. They're not saying exactly, well, at first it was anything within any well within a mile of any of those water bodies. Then they said, well, maybe it's half a mile. Statute says somewhere, I think, 500 feet. So Water Resources doesn't even know what they're going to regulate here this year, and it's very problematic for our own government agency to have no idea what they're going to do. And but they say they have the authority to regulate all those wells that are within that 1 mile, and that will devastate our county. Last year, we lost about $250 million in land value because of the upper basin surface water being turned off. This year, if they go forward denying the use of the wells and shutting off the surface water also, which they have full intentions of doing, we're told, it will double or triple and possibly even quadruple that effect on our land values here in Klamath County. And last year, just the upper basin being shut off, our county, we had already done our taxes appraisals and all that. So we had to turn around and go back after all the county budgets were in place and refund taxpayers some money, or the landowners money, because their land was revalued as dry land. They were paying tax. They'd pay taxes on irrigated ground, but then we had to refund them hundreds of thousands of dollars back because it's now dry land. And this will happen again this next year on all that land that they dry up, upper basin and lower basin combined, which is somewhere around, it gets up to around 300,000 acres. That's going to be a tremendous blow to the county tax base, and it's also for our land values. It changes our rating for a lot of other things, for investments and that type of thing. It drops our pool of assets, I guess you might call it, when they devalue that much of our land in the county.
Your total assessed value, yes, yeah. Your taxable base is just that much smaller. So Klamath County, just to put things in a more general sense, you're really kind of stuck between places. You're not quite high desert. You're certainly not quite high Cascades either. So, I mean, there is some water there. Obviously, you've got the largest freshwater lake in Oregon with Upper Klamath Lake, but you've also still got fairly arid conditions east of that. So you're right on the edge of things, generally, and this is not a good year anyway.
Yeah, and that's why you use Mother Nature's other forms of water storage. That's groundwater, but the irrigators are going to be denied that use this year. And there's never been anything that shows that this groundwater pumping in the summer months has ever depleted that aquifer. It's recharged on a regular basis, clear from up by Crater Lake, where the snowpack is very consistent. It's down, yes, but there's always been enough recharge of that aquifer to not cause a problem. This year, they say there's a problem, but it's such a minute amount through their modeling, and I have zero confidence in modeling. I've seen it go bad so many different times. This is all based on computer modeling. They input some limited numbers for the entire upper basin, and then they plug it into a computer, and my feeling is those computer models are designed by those users of what outcome they want.
So the computer makes an educated guess in the best of circumstances, but you're suggesting that they're actually rigging it a little bit?
Say that again?
The computer model in the best of circumstances is an educated guess by a computer, but it sounds like you're suggesting that the attempt here is to get the information that is desired on the back end.
Absolutely. I've seen that done many times before by our government agencies. Unfortunately, our Oregon Water Resources Department in the past has been our biggest ally. That has switched roles. Our governor wants the upper basin to be pressured to allow dam removal. That's one of his agendas that he's had for many, many years, even his last terms before he retired out of the governor's office. He regretted not having the Klamath River dams taken out. And that was one of the things he wanted to accomplish. And this House bill that was in the House in the Natural Resources Committee, it had a very good hearing. I think it went 100% better than I ever dreamed it would. The committee members were very healthily engaged in answering very good questions. It went very, very well. Water Resources didn't even present. They said they didn't have enough time. It was getting late. They declined to even bring their information to the light, mm-hmm. and I think that showed a lot. But the much higher power, I was told by those committee members, killed it, period. And it was very shortly after that hearing, and we're told that this bill will never see the light of day.
All right, so
higher powers don't want it.
We're looking at a long, ugly summer then, potentially, in Klamath County, unless there's some change in water. I want to point out the county emergency management director did deliver the information to commissioners that the snowpack on January 1st of last year was more than 100% of normal, and that year ended up in a drought. And we're about 20% of normal as of January 1st of this year. So that's the situation being faced in the Klamath Basin. Tom Malams is a Klamath County Commissioner. Klamath County Commissioners recently declared drought there. Tom, thanks so much for joining us again on the Jefferson Exchange.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
You bet. That'll do it for this Hour of the Exchange. We'll talk about tax help. Help in preparing your income tax return in hour number two, coming up.